This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, broadcasting live from the Stevie Eller Dance Theater at the University of Arizona and from member station KUAZ in Tucson, Arizona. We've all done it, stolen a cherry at the supermarket, told a little lie, and we've at least thought about telling a big one and whether we would or do put family work ahead of family. What do our decisions on these questions say about us? The Arizona Daily Star asked their readers here in Tucson 100 questions, some big issues, some little, and came up with some surprising results. We've polled a couple of thousand of visitors to our blog, very unscientifically, I might add, and found a lot of gray areas there as well. Today we're going to ask our listeners and our audience here in Tucson 5 sample questions. Would you serve guests food that had fallen on the floor? Would you watch TV on a beautiful day? Would you hook onto a wireless network that was not yours? Would you stop to help an illegal immigrant who seemed to be in distress? Does everybody deserve the same level of health care? Our number here is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. Of course, you can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Later in the program, we'll visit with a well-known former large animal veterinarian who's with us here in the audience. Baxter Black will join us. But first, we'll talk about some ethical questions, and we begin with Stephanie Innes. She's the faith and values reporter from the Arizona Daily Star. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you.
And how many people took this survey in your newspaper?
Well, we had over 6,000 people responded to the survey. We gleaned from that 5,150 valid responses from adults and 537 valid responses from teenagers.
And there were some interesting, I mean, some of these questions were fairly silly. The would you serve your guests food that fell on the floor question, for example.
Yeah, some of them were just fun.
And yes. Some of them were just fun. Some of them, though, they were pretty serious.
Yes, we actually based the survey on two others that are the company that owns the Star is Lee Enterprises. Mm-hmm. They had done this in two cities in the Midwest and had come up with some questions. And we used some of their questions, but actually tailored some of the questions to our community here in Tucson. So we included things like illegal immigration, and we did do some health care issues, and also issues relating to sprawl and growth, mm-hmm. which are pertinent here.
And obviously, but how did you define ethics, values? What lessons did you glean from the answers?
Well, it's difficult to know because we didn't know whether people were telling us what they really would do or if they were saying what they would like to do, mm-hmm. ideally. We had people on the whole said they were honest. They said only 3% of them said they would lie on a pole to make themselves look better.
Yeah, boy, there's a tricky one.
Just 5% said they would pilfer food from the grocery store. 86% said that they would leave a note if they hit somebody's car in the parking lot and hit it and nobody was in the car and nobody was watching.
Mm-hmm.
So 86% said they would leave a note. And
a lot of unexplained dents.
Yes. And then, but 22% said they would steal office supplies from their work. And 90% of those who said they would steal office supplies said they would force their child to return a shoplifted item to the store. So we thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. In the survey that we did of the Talk of the Nation visitors to our blog, we had one of the questions was, would you eat a co-worker's lunch out of the refrigerator? 98% of our respondents said they wouldn't, which suggests that there are 2% of the people out there who are very fat.
We were surprised by that one in our newsroom as well.
Yeah, the same kind of same kind of response.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which suggests that first question: would you lie on a pole if the answers made you look better? That might have been the key question here.
It could have been, yes. Yeah. We had a lot of readers ask that. And I actually interviewed a lot of people who responded to our survey and mm-hmm. found a lot of gray areas where people didn't necessarily understand the questions the same way. Like, would you tell your child to fight back against the schoolyard bully? People were a little uncertain. Does that mean fight back with your fists or to what degree mm-hmm. does my child fight back.
So, how you frame the question how it's received.
How it's interpreted. Yeah.
Pollsters have had problems with this for a very long time.
Yes.
As you look back on interviewing some of the people you talked to, what did you learn from them that you found interesting?
I learned that there are a lot of gray areas, that people don't like yes-no questions because they apply these things to their lives specifically. I know there was one question, would you use physical means for discipline? And I interviewed one gentleman, and he said, well, you know, he had used that in the past, but he doesn't now. And so he answered, no, I don't. And then we got into a more discussion about that, and he said, you know, what I really realized is that if my child thinks that I'm disappointed in him, that's a lot more powerful than doing physical discipline. So we got into a lot of discussions mm-hmm. that came out of the questions, which is what our newspaper hoped for. We didn't just want to give people a bunch of results. We wanted them to be talking points for issues that are important to us.
Well, let's see if we get some talking points from our listeners. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. But be warned, we're going to ask you one of these questions. We're going to begin here with somebody in the studio audience here in Tucson. So would you hook onto a wireless network that was not yours? The person there in the back at the microphone.
Go ahead. My name is Dick Dubord, and I'm from Dent, Minnesota. For those of you that don't know where it is, it's just a little west of Lake Wobegon.
Where all of the children there are still above average, I assume.
Yes, sir. And the women are beautiful.
Yes. But would people in Dent, would they hook onto a wireless network that was not their own?
I don't think so.
No.
Most of them would not have a wireless network.
Yeah, you can get away with some of these questions fairly easily. There's a long section on the on transportation, mostly involving driving. Since I don't drive, I aced that part of the test. But did you have a question for us?
No, I'd just like to comment on the one of health care.
Sure.
I just strongly believe that every person, just because they are a human being, have the right to the basic necessities of life. Food, shelter, clothing, and health care.
I'm racing.
This is not to be a privilege for the rich, but a right of us all. Now, we'll get into philosophical debates about just how much is essential or basic to life, but we should be able to take the time and care enough to work out those details. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. I should note, I suspect it's a little bit warmer here in Tucson today than it probably is in Dent, Minnesota, but we've been hearing about some snow up in that part of the country. But Stephanie Innes, we had an overwhelming response on our survey on the healthcare question. What did you find in yours?
We had the same. We had a very vast majority of people, I think it was 83%, said that they feel that healthcare in the United States should be a right and not a privilege to those who can afford it. We had a similar number say that they feel that hospitals should not be turning away illegal immigrants who cannot pay or have insurance. Mm-hmm. So we had similar answers on those.
Mm-hmm. Our survey was 93% said, I think healthcare in the U.S. should be a right for all citizens. We were borrowing your question on mm-hmm. that. And again, interesting way that you phrased that. And let's see if we can turn to our next guest. Joining us is Rachna, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. All right, I'm going to blow the last
name. That's
Kamtekar. Thank you so much. And she is an assistant professor of philosophy at the University of Arizona. She joins us here on the panel today. And I know you've had a chance to look at these questions. What do you think they measure?
That's a great question. I think that different questions measure different things. So there are some questions where people can answer them just by observing what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So questions like, would you eat meat? Would you eat fish? Well, it's easy to answer that because you can ask yourself, did I eat meat or fish today, yesterday, for the last 18 years? But there's another kind of question. Would you shoot a gun to protect your family? To which 80% of the respondents said, yes, they would. But then if you look at how many people actually own guns, As far as I can tell, about 25% of Americans own guns. So they haven't actually made the life choice that would make it possible for them mm-hmm. to shoot a gun to protect their family. So in that case, I think what's being measured is rather something like, would you condone someone's use of a gun to protect their family if they had a gun?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the same as predicting what you would do.
And what kinds of questions are these? Are these questions of ethics? Are these questions of morality? Are these questions, I guess some of them are just questions of hygienics, the thing of food on the floor?
Well, that's interesting also. There are, some of the questions are questions that reflect people's values. And I think a lot more reflect, people take a lot more of those questions to reflect their values than you might think. So here's a question. Would you retrieve a coin from a fountain if you needed to make a phone call? 23% of the respondents said yes. And that's not, it's not purely a matter of taste. Maybe people are thinking, what does it say about me if I would wade into a fountain to make a phone call? Would it mean I was a cheap person? Would it mean I had no dignity?
Would it mean I had no money? Would it also mean that I've been able to find a payphone?
Well, that's right. But then there are other questions that I think people do take purely as matters of taste. And some questions are ambiguous. So the meat and fish question, would you eat meat, would you eat fish?
Mm-hmm.
More people would eat meat than would eat fish, which suggests that many more people are taking this as a question of what their tastes are, rather than what are the moral issues involved in consuming animals.
Hmm. We're going to take a short break. We're talking about how we make our choices, what our ethical decisions and our values say about us. If you took our survey online or you'd like to respond to some of the questions we posed earlier, we're going to repeat them after the break. Give us a call, 800-989-8255, or send us an email, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. We'll be back after the break. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan. We're broadcasting today from the Stevie Eller Dance Theater at the University of Arizona and from member station KUAZ in Tucson. We're talking about the choices we make every day, from big to small, white lies, and some gray ones, too. Our guests are Stephanie Innes, faith and values reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. Also with us is Rachna Kamptkar. She's an assistant professor of philosophy right here at the University of Arizona. Did I get it right that time? Good. And, of course, you're welcome to join the conversation. Give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. Our blog is at npr.org/blog of the nation. And we're asking our callers and our members of our audience here in Tucson today to answer 5 sample questions from the survey that was in the Arizona Daily Star. Would you serve guests food that fell on the floor? Would you watch TV on a beautiful day? Would you hook onto a wireless network that wasn't yours? Would you stop to help an illegal immigrant who seemed to be in distress? And do you believe that health care is the right of every citizen in this country? Let's go to the microphone here at the audience at the theater in Tucson. Who's next?
Hi, my name is David Gilmore, and I live here in Tucson. My answers to all of those original 5 questions that Stephanie posed is yes, except that I use the 2-second rule with food that falls on the floor.
It's so, a 2-second rule. I'd heard of the 5-second rule.
Well, it's variable depending on the condition of the floor.
I see. And what in particular, have you ever dropped food on the floor and then served it to a guest?
Why, just this morning. I did have a comment about the last one, which is, why is it even a question that everybody deserves health care? Why should that be a question?
Why should that be a question? Well, let me ask Stephanie Innes. Your newspaper put it on the list of questions.
We did, yes. And it actually wasn't in the surveys that were done in the Midwest, but it's an issue of discussion in Tucson, and we felt that we wanted to ask people. And we did find, 83% of people said yes, but 17% said no. And when I talked to people, they also had varying degrees of understanding of what health care availability is in the United States. Some people said to me, well, it already is that way. Everybody else has health care. And that was their perception. Other people...
And they read your newspaper?
And other people said, well, you know, I mean, our country does what it can for health care, and people do have to pay in order to keep things equal financially.
So they did understand the question.
They understood the question, yeah. But people had differing opinions, and we wanted to hear what they had to say.
Rachna Kamtekar, that's a big issue.
The availability of health care is
a
big issue. That's right.
Some of these are silly. That is not among them.
That's right. I think both the immigration issues and the health care issues are and are taken by people to be very serious issues.
Let's see if we get another caller on the line. This is Rhonda. Rhonda is with us from San Antonio in Texas.
Yes.
And Rhonda, would you watch TV on a beautiful day?
Yes, I'm guilty of that one.
I think we all are. And as you think about these questions, would you stop to help an illegal immigrant who seemed to be in distress by the side of the road?
Yeah, I think I would help anyone that seemed in distress on the side of the road or anywhere else. Although I think illegal immigration needs some upgrading. And when you start out with the word illegal, I think we need to address this further.
Mm-hmm.
However, I would certainly help someone in distress.
Mm-hmm. What kind
no matter
of
who they were.
Let me just turn to Stephanie Innes here and ask her about the response to that question that she got in the survey and some of the interviews you did afterwards.
Yes, 63% of people said they would stop and help an illegal immigrant in distress. And, you know, I think the general feeling was that if somebody's in distress, you're going to stop and help them. Some of the people who said they wouldn't relates back to your last hour on immigration, where they were fearful of who that person might be.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. And thanks, Rhonda, very much for the call. And I suppose you're listening to the radio on a beautiful day there in San Antonio.
Yes, I am. However, I would like to address the health care issue, if I could.
Sure. Go ahead, please.
I think that everyone has the right to medical attention. However, in an emergency case only, I would like to know, out of that 93% that said we should have universal health care, how much of their own income they're willing to give for everyone to have the same care. Including the illegal aliens as well.
Yeah, it's an important question. Well, the survey said citizens, so nevertheless.
Okay. Even so, how much of their own income, what percentage are they willing to give everybody the same health care as, say, someone who does work and does pay high dollar for their medical care?
Mm-hmm. And Stephanie, that wasn't a question on the survey.
No, that was not a question. We did ask about hospitals turning away illegal immigrants, but we only asked about citizens.
And as you interviewed people, did they bring up the point that Rhonda's making?
Not so much. The point that they brought up most, well, I correct myself, a few of them did. They felt that healthcare in the United States is very expensive and that we all need to pay our share, and some of them were willing to pay more than others.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rachna, as you think about that, I mean, obviously these are important aspects to questions like this. I mean, surveys are interesting, but they do have ramifications. How much more would you be willing to pay in order that everybody could have healthcare? It's an issue I guess we're going to wrangle out in the next presidential campaign.
Yes, that's right. I also think we should bear in mind that people's reports of what they would do not always match up well to what they end up doing. And there's a lot of really good and exciting psychological research to show that people are not terribly good predictors of their own behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So can I tell you about a little study?
Sure. Just let me say thank you to Rhonda. We appreciate the phone call. Go ahead.
So there was a little study that was done in 1990 at Stanford University where 3,000-plus students were asked of a bunch, like 20 questions, were they likely to go to San Francisco over the course of the quarter to declare a major, to take a certain course. And they were about 68% accurate in predicting what they would do.
Mm-hmm.
They were much more confident that they had predicted correctly than that, though.
But this is the same phenomenon. Some people, pollsters have found in exit interviews after voting, that people are not always even willing to say who they actually did vote for, that the exit interviews are different from the actual vote results.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, all right. Let's get another question from here in the audience in Tucson.
My name is Judy LaViolette, and I'm a native Arizonan and a university student. Mm-hmm. My question is, prior to these surveys or as part of the surveys, did you frame them as being ethical surveys? And if you did you provide a definition of what ethics is? And if you provided a definition, where was it derived from?
Stephanie, I guess that's to you.
That's a big question. No, we did not provide a definition of ethics. We had one group of questions grouped under ethics questions, but the whole survey was called The Choices We Make. And we hoped from the survey that we would gain a snapshot of what our community's values might be or some talking points that they could discuss. But we did not define what ethics are. Other than grouping 10 questions under ethics. Among them were the illegal immigration questions. Mm-hmm.
Are you finding some problems with that? Just going back to the speaker at the microphone? I'm sorry, she's left already. All right, thank you very much. Let's see if we get another caller on the line. This is Ingrid, and Ingrid is with us from Warren, Illinois. Ingrid, thanks very much for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm Swedish, and I had no problems getting into this country because I'm blonde and blue-eyed. And in those days, I was pretty good-looking, too. I have helped many illegal aliens, and I'm willing to be jailed for it. I think that it's shameful the way we treat our fellow human beings on this earth. And therefore, I am going back to Sweden.
You're going back to Sweden?
Yes, I am going back to Sweden. And the healthcare question too is very, very interesting for me. Of course, everybody should be getting healthcare. Of course, that should be a part of our right. You know, we in Sweden we don't send armies all over the world, and we don't pay dictators money to be on our side. But we take care of our people, and we also accept a fair, the huge amount of immigrants.
Mm-hmm. And also pay a fairly huge amount of tax to do all
we
of
do,
that.
We do, but you know something? At the end of your life, how much would you be willing to pay for some peaceful moments in knowing that you have done the right thing?
So... So in a way, you're making your decision to return to Sweden based on just about these kinds of values questions.
Yes, I am. Absolutely. I'm ashamed of many things. I'm ashamed of, first of all, it says in the Bible, thou shalt not kill. We have a death penalty in this country, which I find deplorable. And there are many, many other things that I find really, really sad. And I also find many, many things really wonderful. The people out in the countryside in America are wonderful people, but it's the politicians and the powers that be that I questioned a great deal.
Ingrid, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And let's get another question from here in Tucson.
My name is Jillian Payne Murrieta, and I'm from Tucson, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
My question is, do you think the respondents would have a different answer depending on who their audience is? For example, if parents were standing in front of their children versus being by themselves?
I'm going to ask Stephanie to respond to that because you did go to interview some of these people in person and then go to Rachna Kamtekar.
Yes. I think when I interviewed some of the teenagers, it was interesting because 58% of them said they would illegally download music, but I went to a classroom and a lot of them sort of giggled and put their heads down when we asked that question. And, you know, a lot of them said, I think that really it's higher than that. I think that sometimes kids were answering based on maybe what they wanted us to know or what they wanted to say. And similar for cheating on an exam, although, you know, none of us really know what the truth is. 38% of teenagers said they'd cheat on an exam. 9% of adults said they would. And some of the kids I interviewed said they thought that would be higher. But again, that's only speculation.
In the survey of Talk of the Nation respondents on our blog, a very high percentage of parents said they would not help their children with their homework to get their kid a better grade.
Yes, only 7% of adults said they would help their children.
It probably explains that most adults can't figure out their children's homework.
We thought that for the illegally downloading music. The teens said, well, the adults were only about a quarter of them said they would illegally download music, and the teens said it's because the adults don't know how.
I hate it when they're right. Rachna, obviously the context in which we give our answers matters a great deal.
That's right. I want to point out that it's not only a matter of honesty or dishonesty what you say in front of different audiences. Because it seems that if, say, a parent is answering a question in front of their child, they might be thinking, what are the consequences of for my child's future behavior, for their sense of what is justified or not justified, for me to answer one way rather than another? So it's true that, of course, audience and context determines how honest people are willing to be or how forthcoming, but sometimes I think there are also really legitimate reasons for people to vary their responses.
I wonder, Stephanie, if you've considered holding this survey in a confessional.
I don't know. We might get different answers. I don't know.
We're talking about values, ethics, and other issues in a survey that was run by the Arizona Daily Star. It was also on our blog. More than 2,000 people responded to us. They had thousands responding to them as well. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And there was a fascinating question about, would you read your teenage child's diary? This is a pretty interesting issue. What did you find, Stephanie?
We found that 22% of teens said they thought their parents would read their diary. 38% of adults said they would read their teen's diary.
I guess those little locks on the front don't work very well, do they?
But that was one of those questions that, again, was a little nuanced, because when I interviewed the adults, they said, well, let me qualify that. I would read my teen's diary, but only if I thought there was a reason to, if my child was in some sort of trouble. I wouldn't read it just to entertain myself.
Let's see if we can, and that, obviously, Rachna, is a question that people would answer differently, maybe in front of their child, I suspect. So, yes, let's get a question from the audience here in Tucson.
Hi, my name is Kristen Fenzel. I'm a law student here at the U of A. And I have a question about telling white or tiny lies to sort of grease the wheels in social situations. In my legal ethics
Don't
class,
you look nice today.
Oh, as do you.
Thank you so much.
Because in my legal ethics class, we talked a lot about whether saying... hey, judge, nice tie, when the judge's tie is not nice, is a violation of the rule, and don't laugh too much, that lawyers are not supposed to lie. so I'm wondering if you asked any questions about white or tiny lies, and if so, what your responses were.
Stephanie first, and then we'll go to Rachna for this.
Well, the only question about lies that we asked was, would you lie on a poll to make yourself look better?
There was another question. Would you lie to your spouse
to give yourself
a little bit more me time about staying late at work?
That's right. And most people said they would not do that.
Question, would you lie to someone that you should tell them that you love them in order to have sex with them? That was another lying
question. That
was
the very first question. That is
true. I don't think that comes under the white category.
We may have different perspectives on this.
What did you find in response to that, by the way?
To the sleeping with someone question? Well, we found most people said they wouldn't tell someone they loved them to sleep with them, although we did find a disparity amongst the genders, that of the people who said they would...
I'm shocked.
8% were men and only 1% were women.
But getting back to the question, Rachna, these are little social lubricants that we sometimes use. Is this a... Really? Really? Where? And they're eating up all my time, too. Is this something that's considered okay?
You know, there's one philosopher that had a really strong line against lying, and that was Kant. He thought that one shouldn't, that it was really a violation of reason to lie at all in any circumstance. But it's a very difficult position to maintain, particularly when you think about white lies and social greasing.
Thank you both very much. We appreciate your time, and that's the truth. Rachna Kamtekar is an assistant professor of philosophy here at the University of Arizona, and also with us, Stephanie Innes, faith and values reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. When we come back from a break, we'll be speaking with Baxter Black. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.